together. Yep, are we on? Oh, good. On Thursday night, a group of us gathered together at New Horizon Church, and it was a real blessing of just being there with perhaps hundreds of other people. We were kind of sharpening our skills on relational evangelism, on how we could share our faith. And the speaker was from Portland, and he encouraged us to share our faith, let our faith be more contagious. Sometimes coming out of COVID, you were kind of scared of that word contagious, and we didn't want to affect anyone, you know, but the idea of our faith was meant to be contagious, and we were to share it freely with those around us. And they gave us a homework assignment as we gathered together in that sanctuary, and I printed it on the bottom of your sermon notes tonight, that to share one thing about Jesus with someone new this coming week. And I'd like to encourage you to be praying about that, that maybe you're thinking, well, maybe it's my neighbor that I'm going to talk to tomorrow, or maybe it's an appointment you're having coming up that you could share with them, just a statement of faith, of your trust, of your relationship that you have with Jesus. And we're thinking, we're just a little more than 4 weeks out from City Fest, and it was a grand time of being together and realizing that we could share our faith in a greater way. Well, tonight I wanted us to look at a few words from Ezra. And Ezra, the book of Ezra and Nehemiah were maybe one volume when they started out, and they were kind of concluding chapters to the book of Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles that we have. So it's kind of interesting, as Pastor David has been sharing with us on the book of Nehemiah, that we've come to know Nehemiah as a book dealing with a rebuilding project of in Jerusalem, and we were the physical rebuilding. But it's been said of Ezra that he was focusing more on the spiritual condition of the people. So if you can kind of think about that part of the framework, that Nehemiah did the physical and Ezra was dealing with the spiritual, we come to the words of Ezra tonight in the 9th chapter. And I printed it out for you because I'm not very good at those PowerPoints of just trying to figure all those things out. So I handed you a piece of paper that you could scribble on or doodle on or fill in the blanks on tonight. In Ezra 9 is part of a chapter of where Ezra was trying to create reform among the people. History repeats itself, doesn't it, in life? And it was interesting as we think about God's word from the book of Genesis clear through the Old Testament, that the people of God, they wanted to be obedient to God's word, but then they got into situations with the countries around them that they began to compromise their faith and worship other gods. Only if they had Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed to God. Man, that would have been exciting if the people had those words. But better than Romans 12, they had God speaking to them, you know, and thus says the Lord. And the Lord said, when you go into this new land, when you go into the promised land, I don't want you to associate with the people in that, getting their customs. I don't want you to marry, intermarry with people, and because you're liable to start worshiping the gods of the land instead of me. And God wanted to have a special relationship with his people, just like he wants us to have a special relationship with him. But sometimes as we think about history, as we read through the Bible, we see more than often the people said, yeah, we want to obey you, God. We want to worship you. You're God, Almighty God. But then when a few days passed, they were gawking around, finding something else to worship instead of the one true God. So here's Ezra, seeing the lack of obedience in the life of the people. And he started pulling out his hair and started pulling out the beard. And we see that in verses 3 and 4 there in Ezra 9. And then he comes to this prayer. It's one of the special prayers in the Word of God. And so I wrote it out for you. Ezra is saying to God, oh my God, I'm ashamed and blush to lift my face to you, my God. For our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has mounted up to the heavens. From the days of our fathers to this day, we have been in great guilt. And for our iniquities, we, our kings and our priests, have been given into the hands of the kings of other lands, to the sword, to captivity, to plundering, and to utter shame, as it is today. But now for a brief moment, favor has been shown by the Lord our God to leave us a remnant and to give us a secure hold within his holy place, that our God may brighten our eyes and grant us a little reviving in our slavery. For we are slaves, yet our God has not forsaken us in our slavery, but has extended to us his steadfast love before the kings of Persia to grant us some reviving, to set up the house of our God, to repair its ruins, and to give us protection in Judah and Jerusalem. Yeah, the people had gotten to the point where they were realizing that they still had a God who cared for them and loved them. But in spite of that relationship with them, they had been overcome with the grief over their past decisions that they had made. Has that ever happened to you in your walk? You have a desire, man, I want to serve the Lord. I want to give him my all in all. And then you might be kind of stuck in the mire, so to say, that you reflect back on maybe, oh, yeah, I remember in my early years as an adult, I did some stupid things. And man, I'm just not worthy to be part of God's team, part of the work that he wants me to do, he wants me to be involved in. Sometimes we might have that feeling over the past, over regret, over decisions, but God wants us to know that we can be overcomers, that we don't have to be in the heaviness of heart over the issues of the past. First point there in the outline is from a passage there in Isaiah 61. God wants us to change our clothes. And I was thinking about that, just that idea that in the morning, you know, you go to your walk-in closet or you go in your closet and you flip the hangers of the clothes by and say, oh man, what should I wear today? And we sometimes, well, I'd like to wear a little bright clothes today, or and sometimes we think about just what are we going to be doing throughout the day. Well, this passage in Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called the oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, for the display of his splendor. I'd like you to think about when you start out your day, instead of a spirit of heaviness over your heart, over maybe the burdens that you have, that you would take that garment that you could have been wearing and put it somewhere else and say, today I'm going to wear a garment of praise to the Lord. Maybe it'd be starting out in a day as you're putting on your spiritual wardrobe that you would need to put on that breastplate of righteousness or that helmet of salvation, or to gird your life with the truth of the gospel, to recognize your identity of who you are in God. Instead of, why me, and poor, what am I going to do during the day, realize an attitude of praise. And maybe it's a simple prayer of lifting up as you're thinking about what to wear during the day, that you could say something like this: oh Lord, you know I'm hurting and have burdens in my life and concerns about what's going to be happening today. But Lord, I give them into your hands, and I lift up a word of praise to you, O God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and the way you manifest yourself to me through the day. And I look to you and to your word to guide me through the rest of this day. In Jesus' name, I praise you, I worship you. What a beginning to realize the freedom that we would have over the regrets of the past. The people in the book of Ezra had another issue that they had faced. They had gone into an area of, I would say, marriage problems. They had entered into intermarrying people of the land. And so Ezra got up and he spoke to them about changes that they needed to make in their life. And we find in the word of Ezra that in chapter 10, the next chapter, that over 200 men were willing to give up their wives that they had intermarried with so that they could devote themselves to following God. And I was thinking of the change in those people's lives, and they needed to give up and change their influencers, things that have been influencing them in their life. Have you thought about those things that influence you from day to day? Sometimes I look at my iPad and I look at the weather report and it says 27% chance of rain. Well, I know it's not going to happen, but the weather forecast sometimes tells us, you know, it's going to rain. So that changes that influences us, doesn't that, during the day? I better not go outside and work in the yard because it's going to rain. Or I better not read the Bible because it's not something that I can do in the rain. But I wanted us to think about this. I mean, what are those things that influence you in your life from day to day? What are those things that you're compelled to do that, like things that you'd listen to, things that you would read, things that would impact your life, that would change the course of your day? Perhaps those are things that lead you into a negative attitude through the rest of the day. And but God would want us to recognize by changing those things that influence us, we could change our relationship with Him. Why not make the Bible and praise and worship foremost in our life? The third component there is to change our view of Christ. That I put, that sometimes our when we feel guilt or remorse over the past and the decisions that we've made, we need to realize that Christ isn't there to whip us and to beat us into submission, but He's there to love on us and like a bruised reed to care for us and a smoldering stick, it says in Isaiah 42. And He's there to comfort us. So think about how God and His Word, how your attitude as you begin the day can be a blessing. Don't have to be like Ezra and pull out her hair and be in a stew over the day. But we can recognize God's blessing. I like what verse 8 tells us tonight. And I wanted to share, wanted us to be into that scripture tonight as we would review God's grace to us. Sin was present in that situation. It had been a pattern for years in their life, and they knew all too well the consequences of sin. You regard that too in your life, don't you? I mean, you see what has happened before in your life when you got into a certain pattern of maybe forgetting prayer or forgetting Bible studies or disregard of relationships. You realize the consequences of that, of separation, and pulls you away from God instead of to Him. And we see how that situation was present, and yet there was a space of God's grace that was shown. And God always loves His people. He sometimes hates the things that their choices and their circumstances they get involved in, but God always loved people, and He wants a relationship with them. And we find there in verse 8 that God shows a favor to those people as they would want to build the house of God for them. We are in a similar situation here in Klamath Falls. We want to build a house of God. We were thinking, well, maybe I'll do it. I'll have a big tent. I'll get a pole building. But God, in His humor, put us in this building, and here we are. How can we transform this building into a house where people can find shelter and rest and peace and joy and find Jesus? We see as we think about, it's a period of God's grace that He's affording to us. This space of grace, I call it, has some benefits to it. And I put down 5 benefits. And so in your outline, it brings freedom from sin, from the results of sin in our life. By having our togetherness, our house of God, we can find a place of shelter and a relationship with God. Number B, it leaves a remnant for us, a space of grace. What started out as 3 million people journeying from Exodus, we get down to this point in history, 50,000 people, a remnant of a small group compared to the large group that started out in the journey. And we find the people seeking God, in spite of their circumstance, they realized that God was there in their midst, and they had a part in God's word. God has called each one of us to have a part in God's work. And it's not something that we maybe have always chosen to do because we think it's maybe dependent upon knowledge or it's life skills. But God has chosen each one of us to be interconnected as a remnant to take advantage of God's power and God's authority and to operate in a blessing of relationship to others. I like what some versions of the Ezra indicate, that there's a nail in the wall. This particular passage that we read tonight didn't mention the peg in the wall, but nails are interesting components in the Bible. We think of different pegs that were driven into different people and different things, and I think the nails in Jesus' hands. But the relationship was a peg or a nail in the holy place that would speak of security and dependence. We have a spot that we can hang on. And that's what God has provided for us in God's holy place, God's presence. There's a place of security and dependence. Another factor that the grace of God affords us is we see there in Ezra is a lightening of our eyes to give us a hope, to give us his Holy Spirit to provide a reviving. He gives us a reviving to know his presence. I like that teaching that Ezra shares, because I see similarities as we face the building the house of God that we have, that God's given us of his grace. No matter what has occurred in the past, we can't change the past of when the West Side was first born some 15 years ago, and all the things, the different things, the ups and downs and the circumstances that have gone on. But God wants us to use the moment, to capture the moment that we're in, because that's where he is, and that's where he wants to work. The third point I wanted to share with us tonight is, not only has sin been present and we can be free from the sin and free from the past, and not only is there grace, the attitude of God's favor moving within our midst, but there's the current grace that God has for us. I like Ephesians, the third chapter, and I wanted to close with this passage. It says, for this reason, Paul was writing to the church there in Ephesus. He said, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to you by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, that has now been made revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise in Jesus. What Paul was sharing together, the grace that we have in our lives, is a significant blessing to us that God's plan was not just for the Jewish people, but for us Gentiles who live in the land to be joint heirs with Jesus. And us thinking about that, how do we appropriate God's grace today in our relationship to one another, and the way we treat one another, pray for one another, the way that we serve one another, the way that we esteem one another. You know, you each have a special gift that God has given to you, and that's something that perhaps you've been discovering along the journey in your life, this recognition that I'm a part of God's work because God's blessed me in this certain way with these certain gifts to be manifest to one another within the body, to build up the body, which is the church. And it's interesting that we are the remnant. After all the people that have come in and through these doors over the years, we are the remnant that God wants to use to bring salvation. Wow. When you think about that, we think about the manifest presence of God through praise and worship. We think about how we pray for each other. We think about the functions that we're going to be doing in the coming days of creating a place of worship to God. All we can do is not pull out our hair and think about what ifs and what happened years ago, but to say, Lord, I long for this ride. I realize it's going to get exciting, and I trust you for the consequences, for the increase that's taking place. Isn't that exciting? God has chosen us for a time such as this. I'd like us, as we close, if you feel like you could do this, I'd like us to join in a circle, just in circle and look at each other for a second as we pray.
If you want to sit down still, you can. But something to one another while we're together as a group. Don't want to put you on the spot, but just...
I'd like to thank you all for being my friend. You put up with me and my idiosyncrasies and all smile and laugh about it, and that's cool, and I appreciate it from the bottom of my being that part.
I like the simplicity and the sincerity of worship that we find here.
The closeness.
I praise God that He's chosen us. You think of, well, we could be resting on our past, but we're looking to the future. That's so exciting to know God's forming us and making us. Blessing.
I'm glad you're here, Andy. Yeah. I'm glad you're here. So glad you're here.
I think that we are establishing a historical moment in time here. You know, when we start building this church here, this is the first church that's been put on this end of town, in this end of the county, ever. You know, sure. So we're a part of a historical thing that's happening.
And we are the church. This building,
right.
I don't feel this building is a church. I feel that the people that reside here
are the church. Mm-hmm. And when Christ returns, you're not going to see him taking buildings up to heaven.
Amen.
He is not going to be hauling any building up there. He's going to be taking people. He's going to be taking those who have accepted him and that want to be with God for eternity. Me. So
I believe that God has placed me here for a purpose.
Mm-hmm. He's placed us all here for a purpose.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the power and authority of God's word radiate from your heart as you bear witness to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. To him be glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Space of grace. Freedom from sin. Freedom from sin.